What's up, Wichita? My name is Scotty Grimmon, and welcome back to the Surgecast. Alongside me, as usual, I have Mr. Tim Grubbs, the voice of the Wichita Wind Surge. How's it going, buddy?
Oh, it's going great. I'll let everyone know for the folks that are watching on video that even though the digital backgrounds make it look like we're at the ballpark, I'm actually in Tulsa, Oklahoma, away with the team. But things are going great. And I'm happy that, you know, to be able to talk real baseball with you now. And we're not just talking about the ballpark, etc.
It's great. Now we actually have players that we can talk about. We got a series that we've actually had our first opening day and opening series. And let me ask you, since that was the first game of the Wind Surge season, what'd you think, man?
Oh, it was great. First off, opening the year in Springfield was a lot of fun. The team got off to such a tremendous start, and it was awesome to see that momentum. You know, we went 5-1 on the road against Cardinals team, you know, which typically has a great farm system. So it was encouraging. And then coming home, and we lost the opener, but we came right back and won 3 in a row. And, it was great to see the good crowds. The weather wasn't necessarily ideal, but we got them all in. And when I first looked at the forecast for the weekend, it was looking pretty dicey. I figured if you would have given me the over under 2 rain delays, I would have probably taken the over. And we got out of there with just the 1 45 minute rain delay. So, I mean, all in all, I think it was a success. And I think everybody I've spoke to has rave reviews about the team and its early success and the ballpark, of course.
Yeah, absolutely. I can't stress how much fun, even though the very first game opening day, it was cold. And that's your good old, fashioned Wichita, Kansas for you. You never know at the drop of a hat, whether it's not going to be very fun. But at the same time, I also went back Wednesday and it was absolutely gorgeous. It was a beautiful night for baseball. And that's kind of what you get. That's where we're from. That's kind of what you kind of have to expect.
Yeah. And the reality of it is if we would have played last year or back in April, we caught some break. In a way, you don't want to say you caught a break by opening the season in May, but it could have been a lot worse had we opened in April. But, I think we're going to learn more about the dynamics of the ballpark. I mean, I obviously, as a person who's watched every pitch and watched the ball pop up, when you notice when the ball gets up above the stadium structure, the flow of the air is definitely affecting it. And I think as the temperature warms up, I think that ballpark's going to play more offensive than pitchers. And I don't think we've seen the true Riverfront Stadium quite yet, but I think we're going to see it here in the coming weeks.
Absolutely. I wanted to talk just really briefly. I didn't want to go too far into it, but I can't thank you enough. I actually got to go up while you were doing a broadcast on Wednesday. I kind of snuck right behind you and was watching you kind of do your thing. And so I got to go up where all of the production and everything like that is going on. And I was told that some of our news crews for our local news stations here in Wichita actually went up in there and were absolutely just blown away about how that thing is set up in there. And you guys just killed it. It was so cool to see.
It was. And I'm glad that you were able to come up there. And I hope that, as COVID restrictions get lifted a little bit and we can get more fans to go do tours of seeing what's behind the scenes. Obviously, you're not going to be able to go down below to where the players are. But I think there is a possibility that fans could potentially get up into the press box more and see the music computer and see how the video production, how that scoreboard operates. And then, there's just so many little things. I think it would be great to get people to see what all goes into a full-scale broadcast at the ballpark.
Absolutely. And minor league baseball really relies on us, on our crew, for what their feed is for our games, because you can actually watch minor league baseball on their app. They have a subscription that you can buy to be able to watch the games of your favorite teams. And whenever there's a game at Riverfront, it's these guys' responsibility to be able to put on the screen and make it look as good as possible. And it was just so intricate how they were able to move all of the cameras and make it work and look really cool. And I was extremely impressed. The video board, you guys got a small army up there, man. It was just so cool to watch.
No, it was awesome to see that. I will highly, I mean, I know not everybody's going to want to buy that MILB TV, but if you're a big fan, I highly recommend it. But I really recommend folks downloading the app.
Yeah.
The app is free. It's MILB at bat, ATBAT. And you always know what the score of the game is. If you want, you pull it up, our Wichita Wind Surge comes up. You can always look at the stats. You can see who the latest roster is. You can listen to the game. You know, if you want to watch the TV part, it does cost a little bit of money. I think it's like $4 a season, but I mean, the other part of it is free. And I think for our diehard fans, the folks that are tuning in here to the pod, I think that it's a good idea to download that on your phone. It's a great way to follow the ball club.
Absolutely. I can't agree with you more, man. I actually, that's how I was keeping track, because obviously I've got other stuff going on. And so that's how I was keeping up with what was going on with the game. As of the games that we've had at Riverfront and the games that we've already had, what do you think about your overall take with the team? Solid group of guys, huh?
Very good group of guys. I'm impressed. I mean, obviously, you know, I haven't been with the Twins organization for very long. I have been with the Marlins for the last 12 years, and I haven't even seen a Twins minor league game since 2002. The last time I saw a Twins minor league game was a AAA team in Edmonton, Canada. Wasn't even in this country.
Wow.
So it's been a long time, but no, I'm really impressed with the group of guys. Ramon Borrego, our manager, is phenomenal. I think he really does an outstanding job with the ball club, and it's good to see us off to a good start. I think the team's playing very well, and I think they're going to play hard for the city, and they're all very impressed with the facility at Riverfront Stadium.
That's awesome here. I already do have a favorite, though. I have a favorite player already, and he's an Aussie. He's from Australia. Yeah. I got Aaron Whitefield in my corner, baby.
And what's the best part about Aaron is how fast he is.
He's quicker than heck, man.
He can really run, you know, and I've seen him go around the bases a little bit. He had a triple. I think he has the first triple in Riverfront Stadium history. You know, he can really run. I've been really impressed. I watched him get a couple of stolen bases in Tulsa. You know, and it's fun to see him go. I mean, this is a kid. I've gotten to talk to him a few times, and you know, he's still raw as a baseball player, even though he's been to the big leagues brief period of time in 2020 with the Twins. But just a guy that played softball, and all of a sudden, late in life, I wouldn't say late in life, but I don't even think he played baseball until he was around 18 years old or 17 years old. So it's pretty incredible that, you know, somebody that picked it up that late, it, you know, was able to put these skills together and make it to the major leagues.
That's so awesome. As a center fielder, I grew up as a center fielder. So that's kind of the player that I always seem to watch the closest and be able to see how they're reacting off the ball. And so far I'm pretty impressed. And so I'm pumped to watch him over the next couple of, at least the rest of this season, but it looks like.
Yeah. I mean, and I hope the fans that come out to the ballpark appreciate the outfielders. I think the one major difference between watching double A caliber baseball as opposed to, you know, Division One or anything else is the break these guys get off the bat.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so few baseballs shoot the gap. You know what I mean? The line drives are obviously going to get in there, but if there's any type of carry on that ball, I mean, guys like Celestino and Whitefield and Contreras and the rest of the guys, they're going to run it down or they're going to come really close. And to me, it is so much fun to watch these guys, especially with that type of speed, be able to cut these balls down and make great plays.
Absolutely. So do you have any other players you got your eye on that you're so far? I mean, I know it's early in the season and stuff like that, but any guys that are just kind of warming your heart just a little bit?
The guy that jumps off the page is Jose Miranda. You know, he leads the team in batting average, home runs, and RBI. He's played every infield spot, first base, second base, shortstop, third base. So he's proving that, you know, he's a utility guy that can play everywhere. So I really have been excited to watch him play. We've had a couple of other plays that, you know, the guys that come and go, there's multiple guys that have a good game and come up with clutch hits. And I think that's what's been really fun about this team. I mean, this is a team that's already been down 6 runs in a game and has come from behind to win. Yeah. Yeah. Which, you know, sometimes you can go full season and not have that happen. And we did it in the first week of the year.
Absolutely. That was actually the game that I was able to be at. And that was an absolute blast. You saw the crowd starting to get into it the closer and closer that we got. And it almost felt like back to normal completely to me, because I've just missed that so much. I mean, it's been so long that we've all been able to go to a baseball game with a whole bunch of people and actually experience that again live. And so that was a pretty awesome moment, especially with, fellow Wichitans actually at the game with me. So how about this series in Tulsa? What do you think for so far, what you've seen, because this is most likely going to be the rival throughout the rest of the season.
Well, yeah, I think it's going to be obviously Tulsa and Wichita State have a rivalry in men's basketball and women's basketball. So I just feel like this is going to be the rivalry probably between these two cities. So far, Tulsa came out swinging the bat in game one. They are the offense in this league. They lead the league in home runs. They lead the league in extra base hits. And they came out thumping in game one, and we gave up some runs. But game two, which the day you and I are recording this, we're recording it a little bit after that game because that was an afternoon game. We came back and scored some runs. And Josh Winder, who I didn't mention earlier, but he's been tremendous as a starting pitcher, made his fourth start, was awesome. And I do think this is going to be a big rivalry between these two. And it's been fun to watch. And I think the team's up for the cause. You know what I mean? The one thing, I want people to appreciate it, because I don't know how many, you know, you're not talking about players' names now, but
yeah,
some of these guys are going to be gone probably in a couple of weeks. And we're going to get some new guys filtered in. And that's minor league baseball. But it's certainly a lot of fun to be in Tulsa. I mean, this ballpark's beautiful too. And it was such an easy drive down here. I highly encourage the fans that really fall in love with this team to come check us out on the road, whether or not we're wearing our road red or, wearing the grays, which I think are very sharp uniforms as well.
That's good. That's good to hear. I actually heard there was a couple of major league pitchers that are in recovery right now for the Mets, like Sondergaard, that's actually now pitching in. He's only pitched four innings, but it was an A ball. I believe it was the day that we're recording as well. So you'll see those guys get shot back down and all the way up. We've talked about that a little bit on this show too.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll see some guys in rehab assignments and some names that you may already know, and you're going to see them throughout the summer, especially as the weather gets warmer. Sometimes, you know, early in the year, especially, they're not going to send them to cool weather climates because they're not exactly sure. The weather can be unpredictable. And if it's a soft tissue injury, that's a word that I probably never would have said 5 years ago or 10 years ago, but they talk about it a lot now. They may not send them to cool weather because sometimes it's a little bit harder to loosen up. But I think as we get warmer, you're going to see a lot of rehab assignment guys. And there's been a lot of injuries already this season in Major League Baseball. Knock on wood here at our level, at the minor league level, we've been pretty good so far. And I'm happy about that.
Yeah. And then obviously after we end up closing this series out, we've got Springfield coming in, which is going to be another homestand for us, I believe next week.
Yeah, no. So we're home for 12 straight days, which is crazy. I can unpack my bag and the fans. I mean, I hope it's not overwhelming. 12 games in 13 days at Riverfront. And I hope, you know, for the season ticket holders, it's not too much. We wouldn't normally do that in a non-COVID year, but this year with the scheduling and everything. So we got Springfield and the Little Rock team coming in. So it'll be fun, you know, to finally, be able to play two series in a row. And I tell you, the Cardinals team is off to a rough start. We beat up on them. And then, they've lost some other games to Northwest Arkansas, but they still have a lot of talent there. I think they have 8 guys that are in the top 30 in the Cardinals organization. So, you know, they're going to figure it out. So hopefully it's not anytime in the near future and we can take advantage of their slow start.
You touched on something just a second ago, and that's something I was going to ask you about the scheduling. It almost seems like, okay, the Wind Surge will never play on a Monday. They always have that day off. But pretty much there's always a game going on any other day of the week. And whenever that happens, regardless if it's home or away, those are the days that we're going to play. And this is kind of a rare occurrence, but does it normally happen when it's not a COVID year, whenever you have that many games back to back, two series at home?
you might have two series at home, but it would never be two six-game series at home.
Six-game series. Okay.
You might have done two fours. Like, typically in the past, we didn't do anything more than most of our series were either three, four, maybe five, especially if it's like a makeup game from before. You never do six-game series in the past. But, no, and this year we're doing six is the standard. So you're seeing the same starting pitchers get – multiple starts in the same rotation, so against the same team, and it's going to be interesting to see how that matches up. We've seen it already a couple times early this year. I haven't seen anything that's crazy, like an anomaly statistic wise, and I got to pay attention to all that stuff, but so far so good. And I think you're eventually going to see where do the hitters have the advantage seeing the same pitcher twice in 6 days. I think most people think that's the case, but we won't really know until, you know, we see this evolve a couple of times and see it through. But I mean, you know, one thing it is good is it's less travel for us.
Yeah.
Especially, I mean, I say it as a broadcaster, I'm only talking, you know, I may be tired, but I'm not the one that's out there trying to hit a curveball, or I'm not the one that's out there trying to excel on the diamond. But for the players, I think it's awesome that they get a chance to catch up on their sleep, and it's not as many overnight bus trips, especially with quick turnarounds where you might have a 5-hour bus ride after the game tonight and you got to turn around and play tomorrow night at 7:05. We don't do that at all this year. So in a lot of ways, I think it's better for the players.
Well, that's good to hear, because that's something I was actually kind of worried about, especially now that we know that all of the traveling, whenever we're going to be on the road, we're going to be on buses. And so, I mean, you're right. You're going to have a little bit longer than Tulsa to have to go through this year. And whenever you get there, and that's going to be a kind of a rough thing to have to get used to, especially this season.
You know, but for a person who's been in the PCL for a long time and as the broadcaster for a New Orleans team that played in Tacoma, and there were times that we would play in Tacoma and get done with a game at midnight, and then we were playing 18 hours later in New Orleans and had to fly 3,000 miles that day. Being in a bus league is not all that bad. I think the marketing or the advertisement of being in a league that flies is so much better. But because we don't fly charter, you know, in those leagues, that it is commercial, that sometimes it was worse than being in a bus league. Sometimes it's better that, you know, get done with the game at 10 o'clock, load the bus up, put all the gear in it and get rolling, get out on the road and get into XYZ whenever we can. So I think there is some benefits to that. And, you know, hey, we do have some bus routes, some longer trips here, but we also have off days built in. So I think it's going to work out. And I think it'll be a better product on the field.
Yeah, I agree. That's been just something that's just kind of like, if I were in that particular situation, I know I would struggle. The more and more I think about it, as constant as they're playing with only one day off, I'm more or less concerned with injuries, with less recovery time being a possibility, especially since you're playing so many back-to-back-to-back with less breaks. That is probably one thing that I'm kind of worried about as a fan. I don't know about you.
Yeah, no, I mean, I hate injuries and guys breaking down because of that. But I think, I mean, we used to get basically one day off a month.
Wow.
So the fact that we're getting one day off every week, I think is really going to help these guys. And I think it's going to really help develop, you know, because they're going to be able to stay in this type of routine and this type of rhythm. And I think in the end, I think there are, I mean, as much as I wasn't a huge fan of Major League Baseball taking over minor league baseball, there are some really good things that have come with this. And I don't know what all's going to stay. You know, I know a lot of the schedule is based off of COVID, but don't be surprised. We're talking about this being a COVID year schedule, that a year from now, you and I are doing a podcast and we're talking about some of the same stuff, because I think Major League Baseball is going to like the fact that they got an off day every week and there's a rhythm and there's a routine to the schedule.
You know, I was thinking about something the other day at the game. I was looking at these players, and I don't know if it was because it's been so long since I've actually seen minor league baseball players up close and in my face, but I felt like when I was a kid, they were huge. And now, like, I'm so much older and I'm almost seeing the body type being different. Like, I remember as a kid, these guys coming in just looking like a swollen Sammy Sosa, but a lot of these guys, and some of them are, but most of these guys, not only are they young, but it just feels like the design is different. It's a different kind of baseball that we're living in compared to what I remember back when I was a kid.
Well, you know, there's a lot of we have a dietitian you know, these guys get catered meals.
Yeah.
There's certain food. You don't walk in and see a bucket of chicken sitting in the middle of the clubhouse. You know, their body fat, you know, isn't what it used to be. I mean, the game has changed in the time that I have worked as a broadcaster in this game. You know, used to get done with a day game like today, and you could go down to the bar up next to the hotel or in the hotel, and you'd see half the, you could have a team meeting there. These guys are not that way anymore. They're really concerned about what they eat and what they drink and, you know, body fat. I mean, they are lean machines. They're not chunky anymore. No. They're not like the room, the story used to be, you know, like is a baseball player an athlete? Cause you would look at these guys and they didn't have an athletic build. That's not the case anymore. These guys really do have an athletic build. It's a different story. And these guys really are at the weight room a lot, and they're being very careful with what they eat. It's different. You're right. And the pitchers are super tall. The pitchers, I mean, it's rare to see a pitcher that's less than, you know, 6'2". Oh. I mean, we're not talking 6 foot. Usually they're a lot higher.
Yeah. Well, man, it's a young season. We got a lot of baseball. I mean, just right around the corner, we had our first home series, but we have 60 home games this year. That's the way that I understand it. Right.
Right. 60 home games. You know, we have a couple of these 2 week stretches, and it's a lot of it's seven on, seven off, which is really cool. You know, and hopefully the weather works out, and I hope everybody gets a chance to get out there. I know the first week was a great success, and I think it's going to continue to happen.
Well, the more and more people that I talk to, they keep on coming up and just asking me, and like, you know, was it an absolutely good time? And like, it was an absolute blast. You need to get out there, check it out. It's worth a ticket, and the tickets are very, very reasonable, even for excellent seats. That was
not a bad seat in the stadium. No. And even if you're not a baseball fan, I feel like the ticket to get in there just for the entertainment value, you know, for the promotions that we're doing. You know, you mentioned everything that you're seeing with the different giveaways and, you know, the softy balls being aerated in from up above. I think there's so much going on that even if you are a casual baseball fan that doesn't even understand the rules, I think you're going to like it. I think you're going to have, it's a good night out for your family or, you know, for a group of guys or a group of girls. I think you'll just have a good time at the ballpark. There's definitely plenty of great food options, drink options, whether or not you're looking for a cold beer from a local brewery, or if you're just looking for, you know, any type of drink, there's a couple of different bars in the ballpark. So you can get just about anything you want.
And you know what, even though I had excellent seats, I was walking around the entire time. I never, ever sat down. It was just kind of one of those things that I just wanted to get up and walk around the stadium. And I probably walked it 10, 12 times. I didn't care. I don't know. It just is a great, great feeling to have baseball back in Wichita, and affiliated baseball nonetheless is even better.
And I think that the 360 concourse is just phenomenal. I mean, if you walked it 12 times, I think you walked about 3 miles.
Yeah.
And for people that are worried about their steps, it's a great way to walk around, and you can watch the game the entire time. If you're in line to get, you know, a Philly cheesesteak, you're in line to get a chicken sandwich or whatever, you can still watch the game while you're getting in concessions. So, I mean, I think that's awesome too, that you're always have a view of the field and what's going on the field, whether it's a baseball game or whether it's a promotion that's going on.
Well, and apparently as of at least today, I'm now finding out about this. We're going to have our at least first concert, our first actual public event, down at Riverfront Stadium. Did you hear about that?
Yeah, I actually did. I mean, I didn't know it was going to happen during the baseball season. I thought it was going to happen like right as the season ended, but hey, this is great. I'm not going to be there because I'll be in some other city because they're doing it when we're out of town, but I think it's awesome that, you know, when Lou Schweckheimer won at this ballpark, his complete vision was always, this is going to be used for more than just baseball. Yeah. And he always talked about festivals and craft beer things and baseball, soccer, hockey. Well, here we go. We got concerts.
Yep, that's right. Midland is going to be in town Thursday, July the 22nd. And tickets go on sale on Friday. So if you're interested in going to one of those concerts, check that out on Friday. I'm not a huge country guy. That's just not my thing. But apparently they've been around for a while. I feel like I'm out of the loop now with country music because it's been...
I'm kind of out of the loop. I've never really been... I know the mainstay country music people, but I'm not a real music person. If you come into my car, I'd probably have AM radio on. But when you told me Midland, I thought it was the team in our league. In fact, I might even be in Midland when that happens.
Yeah.
But no, I have heard of them. So the good news is I've heard of them. I'm not exactly sure what they play, but I know we're not promoting it, but for the folks that love it, but I think it's going to be a great time to have live music at the ballpark. Well, and that's the other thing. Live music is back, you know, we've gone through this past 2021, right. You know, the last 14 months, it's great to see that there's going to be, you know, that type of event at the ballpark.
I'm curious to see how the stage is going to go in and how everything's going to set up. I'm really excited to see it. I know whenever they design that thing, that bridge out in left field comes up to help with everything so they can get all of those big things up onto the field. So I'm really curious to see how this thing holds.
Me too. I mean, obviously you mentioned the bridge. The bridge goes up. A semi can come out and build the stage. I don't know if does the stage go directly in center field. I don't know exactly how they're configuring this concert. I've seen bands like Mumford & Sons, you know, play at baseball stadiums, and I see how they configure it. Now, I've never seen it in this ballpark, so it'll be fun. And I think it'll be great, you know, to see that ballpark packed because now all of a sudden, not only can you fill all the seats, you know, then are they going to put people on the field itself? Yeah. All of a sudden you're starting to talk some big numbers. I mean, you could be talking, you know, 14,000 people, I would imagine. That place might be just going nuts, you know, and I don't know if that's what they're doing for this concert, but I think we'll know more of the details in the coming days.
Absolutely. Well, Tim, buddy, that's all I have. And more than anything, I wanted to at least check on you, make sure you're doing okay while you're out of town. Man, we can't wait for you to come back. We can't wait for the next series. I'm sure I'll probably see you then.
Yeah, no, appreciate it. And I'll have to get you into the booth. And you and I can talk about some of our podcast prevails while a ball game's going on. So come on up sometime next week.
All right, man, that sounds good. Well, guys, Wichita, thank you guys so much for tuning in to the Surgecast. Come out and see us next week as we play Springfield. But until next time, guys, Surge up.